It's kind of goes along with this message today. You know, last week I asked the question, how many of you have got something going on that you're struggling with? And then I said, look around, as the hands stayed up. Did you see how many people, how many of us raised our hands? We raised our hands, we were struggling. We're struggling with things. We're struggling with life. And I just want you to know, as your pastor, it just really moved me. It really touched me. It just really did something in my soul, in my heart. And so very, very quickly after the service, I began to ask the question about the series that we've been in on worry and grumbling and complaining and attitude. And I just really believed that God would have me come and bring this message this morning in light of maybe the things that you're going through. That will also give kind of a really good thought to why we help people overseas and why we bless people. And to do that, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. In so many ways, this is the beginning of our journey of faith. Your journey and my journey. Theologians call it the Abrahamic blessing or covenant. It's the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. If you remember in Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his image. In his image, God created him, man and woman, female, male and female. He created them in the image of God to reflect the goodness and glory of God. But we know that man fell. And in many ways, the glory of God departed because the image was marred and sin entered the world. But God had a plan. He had an immediate plan. The plan was stated in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Immediately after the fall, immediately after they sinned, before anything else was done, God said to the enemy, your days are numbered, enemy. Serpent, your days are numbered. One day the seed of the woman is going to come, and that seed, who we know as Jesus, is going to come and crush your head. It's going to defeat you. And what's interesting is that God has this plan, and this plan really begins to unfold in the life of Abram. Because I'm going to tell you, Abram is an idol worshiper. He worships idols. And yet God comes down to an idol worshiper and pulls him out of idolatry to serve the living God with this great plan of his to redeem mankind. There's this great thought in Scripture. We call it the mystery of godliness. How will God make man holy again? It's a mystery. No longer a mystery, because now we know the cross. We've seen the cross. We've seen the blood. We've seen Jesus stand in the gap for a people who would call out to him for salvation to be saved. Jesus from the seed of Abraham, thousands of years later. This promise is a promise of blessing. And what I want to share with you today is that if you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you're worrying and grumbling, the thing that I'm going to share with you today is the reason why we don't fear, we don't worry, and we don't grumble. And here it is. The first, it's because we're blessed. We are blessed with the blessing of God. And God starts throwing out these blessings to his people through Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And this is what he says. He says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. So you shall be a blessing. And I'm going to bless those who bless you. And I'm going to curse the one who curses you. I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham, and he said, and this is what he says literally, to your seed I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. There's this great promise to Abram. Abram will be a great nation. He will be blessed. He will have a great name. He will be a blessing to the world, to all the families of the earth, who indeed will also be blessed. He's speaking of a heritage here, a blessed heritage. And what's great about this promise is it has a couple of things in it that I want to just briefly talk to you about. See, when we think of God's blessing, what do you think about? What do you think about? What I think about, sometimes when we think about God's blessing, we think about how he's blessed us with stuff and with things. With things that are temporal. And yet it's so much more than that. This blessing, I'm going to tell you, this blessing is God's, it is God's contribution of heaven to your life. It's what God gives us for the common goal of his glory. That's what a blessing is. It's his contribution to enhance your life to become what God wants you to become in this life so that you might enjoy Christ forever in the next life. It's God's gift to you, God's contribution to you, God's enhancement in your life, God's building up in your life. That's what this blessing is all about here. It's about the restoration of man to God himself. It has its beginnings in this Old Testament, and we'll see in a moment that it comes to the point of Christ, who is the seed that God is promising Abraham. Covenant is one of these things in this section of Scripture. Covenant. A covenant is what God says, this is what I'm going to do for you and my people. The covenant is the promise. The covenant says to Abram, a great nation, blessed, great name, a blessing to the world, to all the families of the earth, a heritage, a place. I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you these things. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to contribute to this human race by one day sending the seed to crush the head of the enemy. It's God's covenant. This is what I will do. When you look at Old Covenant and New Covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's all about God and what he says he's going to do. And guess what he asks us to do? He asks us just to agree with it. Just agree with it. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. And everybody that blesses you, I'm going to bless them. You're going to be a blessing to them when they bless you. But guess what? If the one who comes and curses you, I will curse. I'll do that for you, my people. My man, my lady, my woman of God. This is what I will do for you. I will bless you. I'll make this covenant. But it's more than just covenant and us agreeing. It's also the word, I love the word favor. It's God's favor on you. Covenant. God says, this is what I'll do. We agree with it. This is the favor of God. It rests upon us. And that favor is often found in my life, in your life, by just doing what God asks us to do. We agree and we believe and we obey. But let me tell you, it's not only about covenant. And it's not only about favor, but it's about fellowship. Because God wants a relationship with you. Covenant, this is what I'll do. Favor, this is how I will bless you through life. And guess what? It's about fellowship. This is about communion. I want to commune with you. I want to listen to you, and I want to speak to you, and I want you to listen to me, and I want you to speak to me. I want a relationship with you. This is what the blessing is all about. It's not in your notes. Covenant, favor of God, fellowship and communion with him. This is what he desires of our lives. When he comes to Abram, Abram says, listen, this is what I need you to do. I need you to go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house to a land which I will show you. In other words, this is the blessing. I'm going to bless you, but let me tell you, there is this condition. The condition is that you believe me, and then as you move, you listen and you obey and you go. And Abraham would. He'd be separated from all the other peoples of the earth. He'll become a man of God, the friend of God. And the people and his people would become the people of God, the children of God. But he had to do something that didn't make sense. He had to leave. He had to go to a place that God would show him. Can you imagine in that day? Go to the place that I'm going to show you. Can you give me a map? Can you give me a GPS? Don't you have a website of pictures on it so I can see what I am coming to and what I am bargaining for in this transaction? No, none of that. No map, no GPS, no pictures. Just go to the place that I'm going to show you. And this is what I'll do. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you with covenant. I will bless you with favor. I will bless you with communion with me. Go. You know, I'm convinced, speaking about this morning, convinced that God has a best for us. And sometimes the enemy of best is just good. Think about that for a minute. God has the best for you and me, and sometimes the enemy of our lives is just good. Listen, he had possessions, he had land, he had stuff, he had people, he had everything going for him. It was good, but God had something better and best for him. Don't sacrifice the best of God for just the good. We live in a great country. We are blessed with freedom. Yes, even today we are blessed with freedom. Freedom to worship. You'll go to jobs tomorrow, most of you. You're blessed. You're blessed. But sometimes that blessing, that good blessing, can cause us to walk in such a comfort and such an expectation and such an entitlement that we stand where we are and we don't move forward and we miss the best that God has for us. Some of us raised our hands last week, and some of you would raise your hands. We're going through some stuff. We're going through some things. And, you know, if you look at the whole totality of your life, it's probably just that area. Probably the other areas are going pretty good for you. Most of us live like that. Most of us have that. We have good things happening to us. But I want to know, church, are we settling for the good when God wants to give us best? What would that mean? Sometimes it means taking risks. This is a risk. But I want to tell you what it really, really means to my heart. Listen, when you raised your hand last week, I promise you, I never thought one moment that when you raised your hand with your trouble that I thought maybe you were disobedient or you were rebellious to God and his plan. I didn't think that at all. But as I was thinking through the week, I was thinking, what are some of the things that God has asked you to do that you've not done? Because I want to just say, there's some of us in here that God has specifically spoken to. And you know what? I mean, he's blessing us. And it's not like you're in just some kind of big, huge rebellion. But there's just some things that God says, listen, I would like for you to do this. It may be changing location. It may be changing career. I mean, that's what he did. He had to change location. He had to go from one close location to another. He had to move. It may be changing relationships, the people that are around you. And that's what he did. He said, you go from your father's house, from your people, and you go alone. So that might bless you. And there might be relationships that God has asked you to no longer walk in intimacy with, that you're still walking in intimacy with, that's not bringing you to the levels and to the places that God wants you to be. Location. I think that God's also asking us and always asking us to consider how we're going to spend our time, even our free time. Some of us might need to make that kind of decision today. It may not be location. It may not be relationships. That may be okay. But how do you spend your free time? How do you spend your time? It's your time. And God, believe me, with all my heart, I believe that God gives us everything to enjoy. I think enjoying the things that God gives us is a way of us honoring God. So please hear what I'm saying here. When the things that God gives us becomes obsession, and all we do is think about it, I'm just going to tell you that what you're thinking about is not the ultimate thing that's going to wash you and cleanse you. Let me ask you, does Facebook cleanse you, wash you? It doesn't wash you. Boy, we're just hungry for the next story. Click, 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 click. And we eat it like McDonald's French fries. We do. I gotta have more, gotta have more, gotta have more. And it never washed. It never cleansed. It never satisfied. Social media, click, 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 click. Thinking about how I spend my time in front of the television. Consumed with things. And I say, maybe God's asking us to consider how we're to start spending our free time. And to think that this God of ours is not on some clock or some weekend clock or some, I'm going to punch the clock and I'm going to go to church and hear and worship and hear an okay message or something like that and see some friends and then I'm going to clock out. No, we don't clock out. You've heard me talk about this centerpiece of having Jesus Lord of our lives and us following him. And this is what Abraham does. Abraham takes the risk. He moves from location. He moves from relationship. He maybe even moves from a career. But he's also, there's something happening here because God's going to change him so much that he's not going to spend his free time the way he spent it before because of this great relationship. And maybe that's something that we need to consider today. What is it that I need to do through my faith in Christ and what I've heard God say that I'm not doing? And I've refused to do it. And it can be a number of things. It could be stuff that things that really are hurtful, like forgiving my dad or my mom. Or it could be something as simple that says, you have a gift of teaching children and you're not approached Scott here to say, I love children, I love to teach. And you're not doing that? Or you've become stingy and not generous with the gifts, the callings, the money, the resources God has given you. Because you're afraid to take the risk to do what God's asking you to do. Think about this. Think about this today in this whole thought of this great God who blesses this man who has to take the risk to leave. And guess what the promise is? The promise is as you do this, I don't think God had any doubt in his mind that Abraham was going to believe, was going to do it. I just don't think that. I don't think that. But he had to move. He had to do it. And instead of lack, he would be fruitful. Instead of woe, he'd have joy. Instead of sadness, he'd have happiness. Instead of defeat, he'd walk in victory. And he'd walk in this favor of God with God and with man. And he would bless Abraham's life and his faith. And that faith would extend to you and me. Go to Genesis chapter 15. Because in Genesis 15, Abraham's having a problem really believing the whole picture here. Because suddenly God has said to him, hey, I'm going to give you this land, but I'm also going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you a seed. And the problem is Abraham is old and his wife is old and she's past childbearing age. And so he just cannot see in the spiritual to see the impossible take place. He's looking at the deadness of Sarah's womb and the old man that he is. And he says, impossible. I can't. I'm just having a hard time believing this. I can believe God about the going forward. I can believe God about leaving my family, but to believe something this impossible, that he's going to give me a child in my wife's menopause? It's impossible. But that's why we believe. That's why there's faith, to believe the impossible. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. It was one thing when you called me out and said, hey, go to this land. You had land for me. I went for the land. But then you started showing up and telling me that I was going to have seed. I was going to have descendants. And I don't know anything about that, but I just know that when you look at me and you look at Sarah, that's an impossibility. And he says, oh Lord, what will you give me since I'm childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, my favorite servant, my favorite worker. Abram said, since you've given me no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. And then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body shall be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, now look toward the heavens, count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And then he believed in the Lord and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Your seed, you'll have seed. Just look at the stars. Look at what the stars say. Look at the many stars. You'll have thousands of descendants. This is what you have to look forward to about your heritage. And then the Bible says he believed him. And it's only then and after then that God makes covenant with him. The covenant is made, sealed. And I want to tell you, when God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. Amen. Because if it depends on me and depends on the likes of you and me, God couldn't get anything done. But he promised. It's what Abraham needed. Abraham knew exactly what he was doing in these next verses about this covenant that God's made. But it's the covenant of God that's going to say, listen, I am going to bless you, and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And I look at you and I look at me and I say, this is what I say, I still believe this with all my heart, that this is the same promise to you and me, listen to me, as Gentiles. It's Gentiles. The Bible says if you believe like Abraham believed, that you're a child of Abraham, you're a son of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham, because you believe like he believed. You have that same kind of spiritual DNA in him that believed and God reckoned it to him as righteous. Isn't that what we believe about salvation? Believing what Jesus did 2,000 years ago just for us. And when we believe it, God says, righteous. Is that what we believe? Righteous, but you got to do a little better with the Ten Commandments before I really, really make you righteous. No, the moment you believe in all your filth and all your anger and all your lust and wherever you've been, when you believe the awesome promise of God that he's come to save you and deliver you, he reckons you as righteousness. When you believe like he believed, God says, righteous. Amen. So we believe, he believed this. And God made the covenant. When we believe, God already made the new covenant when Jesus died on the cross for your sin and shed his blood. That blood is the blood of the new covenant. It's not the blood of a goat. It's not the blood of a cow or a heifer. It's not a blood of a turtle dove. It's the blood of the Son of God that purchased our salvation. And all we had to do was believe to see the reckoning of God in our lives, which was a good reckoning now. We see this in this illustration of our father Abraham. And so listen, when I think about my life, and I think about the things that God's done, or I think about the trouble I might be going through, the uncertainty that I'm going through, I want to remember that I am blessed by God. I'm blessed with this blessing. There's three things really quickly that I want to say about this. First, God blesses you by dying for you to give you this great blessing of Abraham through God's Spirit, through your faith. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing, watch this, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You and I, thousands of years later, through Christ, have the same opportunity to be blessed by God and to be a blessing to others through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something else about this, how God blesses. He blesses you, watch this, He blesses you by sending you Jesus to change you. Look at Acts 3:26 on the screen. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Isn't that the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We believe God reckons us righteousness, and then he doesn't stop working. He starts working overtime for you to do what? To turn you from the lifestyle that you've been living that's been bringing us such misery. He changes you. So he delivers you, takes you out of that addiction, removes that anger, that bitterness, comes and sets you free from lust. And all those things that cause you to walk in guilt and shame and all those things. Listen, you want to talk about blessing? The blessing is Jesus. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. He blesses you by dying for you and then being sent to you to turn you away from a horrible lifestyle. Let me ask you a question. When you came to Jesus, did you really want to stay in that old lifestyle? Did you? No. You didn't want to stay there. Well, that's because God doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to stay in the pit. He doesn't want you to stay in the pit of destruction and in the miry clay. I mean, that's what he did. He pulled you out of that miry clay to put your feet upon the rock. Jesus, that's the blessing. You go the rest of your life and live in a village where someone's bringing, now you got clean water and you've got Jesus and you're the happiest person on the planet. Isn't that right, Craig? They have nothing, but that they will tell you they're the blessed, most blessed people in China. Blessed. Blessed you by sending you Jesus to change you and to transform you. And then what's wonderful, he not only blesses you by dying for you to give you this new life and sends the Spirit and sending Jesus to change you, he then blesses you with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so here's the first confession. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you this. Just think about it for just a moment. What are you going through right now that's hard, that's tough? Just think about it. Think about it. Now, I want us to give a confession. If you're in Christ, let me tell you, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. The blessing of heaven that God has contributed to your soul to get you to the places God wants you to be. So I want you to confess this today. And I want you to do it with conviction, firmness, courage, boldness. Say it with me. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, now you got my cadence, right? Okay, so you ready again? I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now that you got that cadence down, you need to now forget about the cadence and speak it. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Do you see it and say it with conviction? Because this is why we don't worry. This is why we don't grumble, because, say it with me, I am blessed. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. When's the last time you thought that? It's one thing to say I'm blessed beyond measure, or I'm blessed to be stressed. Well, however they say that. Right, too blessed to be stressed. Right. No, we're blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. So when you're going through your struggle, when you're going through what you're going through, when you're going through the uncertainty, when you're going through the grief, when you're going through the pain, this is not about you saying, stop all that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, hey, pause a minute and say, in the midst of this, I'm still blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'm blessed. Let me talk about that for just a minute. Let me tell you about this blessing. When you get the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, it's the mercy, the grace, the favor of God. It's His salvation. It's His forgiveness. It's His strength. It's His courage. It's His word. It's His forever presence. It's His life. Yes, it's friends. Yes, it's church. Yes, it's people who have encouraged you. Yes, and it's rain. He blesses you with rain and sunshine and shelter and clothing. And for most of our lives, He blesses us with health. But listen, He blesses us with His word. He blesses us with callings and giftedness and comfort of the Holy Spirit. He's blessed us with protection from the enemy, our enemies. He's blessed us with words to speak, words of encouragement, words to bless. He blesses us with the removal of guilt and sin and strongholds. He blesses you with the things most of the world does not have. Yeah, you'll get in a vehicle today. Most people in the world don't have vehicles. You won't walk home. You won't get on a horse and go ride home unless you're the one cowboy who does it every now and then. And you really didn't have to do that. You could have come in your truck. He blesses us with clean water, full markets of food. Some of you have been blessed with property and resources. Some of you have gotten inheritances from your parents that's blessed you. You are blessed. Most of us in here have at least a little money in our pockets, right? College kids, right? Yeah, we'll have a little money. I mean, you're in school. God's providing for that. I want to tell you what else God has blessed us with: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. The question that I ask is, will you see this and will you believe this? Because I believe with all my heart that it's a confession to peace. It's a confession to peace. Will I believe this with all my heart? Will I thank Him for this blessing and every blessing? Or will I take it for granted? Or will I be distracted because the problem and the struggle is just too deep? It's just too much. Will I speak it in the midst of the darkest day, the darkest night? Will I speak it still, that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ? Because really, the worst thing that could happen to you can be the best thing. I think about the worst thing that happened to you is you die. But where do you go?
one step into eternity. And that's a blessing. That's the blessing. It's the blessing of the promise of the seed.
So see it and believe it. Thank him for the blessing. And then choose to live it by getting back to this other place to say, okay, God, okay, so what have you asked me to do? I'm going to tell you something. 2 years ago, three years ago, God asked me, okay, this is me, to thank him for everything. Good, bad, ugly. There's some things I thank God for that just didn't make sense. But I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart God asked me to do that. And I tell you what, even in the days that didn't make sense, I thank God, but I want to tell you, supernatural things happened. I saw things happen because of just obeying God. I'm still on that journey. Do I default to it immediately? No, not always. But thank God I get around to it. What is it that God has asked you to do? What has he asked you to speak? How has he asked you to be involved? How has he asked you to contribute just as he's contributed to you? Because here's the second thought is that Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Therefore, you will be a blessing. Let me tell you, you are a blessing in order to bless, first of all, God and the people of God, the children of God and the world. That you're blessed, therefore you are a blessing. You know, it's really interesting in Acts 20, 35, in the last part of that verse, Paul's talking about giving, and he says, listen, we've heard it from the Lord Jesus Christ. You must help the weak, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, so here we go. I'm blessed. God's given us all this, but guess what? It's more blessed to give than to receive all this stuff, all these great things that we just listed. It's better to give. It's better to give. This is where I think in my life that when I'm counting blessings, but I'm not giving blessings away, I can become really miserable really quick. But have you ever noticed that when you get out there and give something, it may just be a word. It may just be picking up the phone and saying, hey, you're on my mind. And you've blessed that person. You've just blessed them with a blessing. I'm not talking about thousands of dollars out of your pocket. Unless you have thousands of dollars in your pocket, then yeah, give it. But I'm talking about whatever you have, whatever God's given. Listen, I want to tell you, I had a dream once. I've had two significant dreams in my life. Just two. I had a couple last night. They weren't significant. by the way, little Liam, they sometimes have little nightmares. And so the other day, John Ann said, how did you sleep? He said, I had good mares. So, good mares, yeah. I had a dream once. I was praying in the old building where we used to meet while we were meeting, and I fell asleep. And I had this dream. Now, I dream in color, okay? I just want you to know. I dream in color, okay? Vivid colors. But this day, I dreamed in black and white. And I just want to tell you just right up front, the caveat, this dream is a man's dream, okay? It just is. It was a man's dream. And it's a sport dream, which was just even more, it just meant a lot to me, okay? Even though the sport that I'm dreaming about, I don't like, okay? No, I don't love football. Okay. Baseball. It's not that I don't like it. It's just too slow for your pastor, okay? Just too slow. I like the move, right? Hey. All right. These are new kids, okay? They know. Yeah, baseball is just too slow for me. So anyway, but I'm dreaming, and I'm at home plate. I'm at home plate, and it's black and white, and it's an old stadium, and I mean, it's old-timey. I mean, it's like something from the 1900s, okay? But the place is packed. And I'm at home plate, and it's like pitching practice, okay? And I mean, these balls are coming. They're sailing, and I'm hitting them, and they're going out. It's a man's dream. I can never do this in life, okay? So just leave it. It's only a dream. And I'm batting it, and I'm hitting them out, and I'm hitting them into the crowd, and some of them are going over the stadium wall. They're going over it, and
I go, man, this is a blast. And everybody's going crazy. Everybody's going nuts. It's packed out. Man, it's a man's dream. And then I look up, and about 2-3 feet hovering over the pitching mound is God. And I think, I'm hitting off God, right? All these fouls, I'm hitting off God. They say, and I'm hitting these things. And I think that in my dream, I really do. I'm hitting off God. And this is the first time and only time in my dream that I did this. I asked, oh God, what does this mean? What does this mean? Because I've never dreamed black and white. No. What does this mean? And I want to tell you in my dream, as clear as I can ever tell you of what I've ever heard God speak. It was in a dream. He spoke. He said, these balls I'm pitching to you and that you're hitting, these are the blessings that I am pitching to you your entire life, that you are not to hoard, that you're not to celebrate in pride or arrogance. These are the blessings that I want you to give away. I want you to give it away. I want to ask you, how many blessings has God pitched to you that you've just tossed it aside and even forgotten that you've been blessed with these things? They're just kind of like souvenirs. And they might be on a shelf, or they might be tucked away in a drawer, or they might be in the back of the closet in your mind. And God's asking you to open the drawer, to open the closet, to dig deep and get back to these blessings that He's pitched to you, that God says, they are not yours. I blessed you to be a blessing. That's why we don't stay quiet about our faith. That's why faith's not something private. If anybody tell you says that faith is something private to me that I don't share, I want to tell you, that's a problem. Because it's not private. It's communal. It's something you give away. If God has saved you from the depths, do you remember when He saved you? Maybe when you were 8 or 10 years old, that revival in your hometown, your home church. And God saved you, and you know He reckoned you as righteous. But you've never told anybody really about it. You've never told anybody how they might can come to know this covenant, this fellowship with God, this communion with God, this favor of God. You've never shared that. You've never given it away. You've never hit it out of the park. But you've saved it. Second confession. I am blessed, therefore I'm a blessing. Can you say that way? Can you put that up? Can you find it? I am blessed, therefore I am a blessing. Now I want to tell you, this is a harder one to confess. It just is. Especially for us men. That's why I want the men only to do it right now, okay? Men with me. I'm blessed, therefore, I am a blessing. Okay, so look. Now you know my cadence, all right? Let's do it. I am blessed, therefore, say it again. I am blessed. Ladies, would you do it? You didn't even need me to do that with you, did you? Do it again, ladies. Let's say it together. Listen, you have in you everything you need to live for Jesus. Everything. Everything you need. You don't have to go way over there to find it. You don't have to come to my office to find it. You have it right now. And if you'll just cry out, let me say a couple of things. Lord, will you forgive me for the worry and the grumbling because I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing? Will you forgive me for hoarding the blessing? And not speaking it, or not giving it, or not blessing people with it. Let me ask you the question, what blesses you? Talk about it.
Share it. Let other people in on it. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. It's a great confession to peace. You know, got one more thought here, and I'm not gonna get to it, but God said something to Abraham that I thought was really interesting. Everybody who blesses you, I'm gonna bless. But the one who curses you, I'm gonna curse. Can I tell you what I believe that means? I believe that no matter what you're going through in this life, no matter what the enemy has put your way, or no matter how you've walked into it, if you're in Christ, in all the things that you're struggling in, you overwhelmingly conquer. Who curses people? Enemies curse their enemies. And let me just say this. The great enemy, the enemy, Satan, curses you. And I want to tell you, this is such a thought in my skull right now, is you keep cursing me. Keep on. Because the more you do it, the more God blesses. Amen? Isn't that how Satan, he tries to work one way, but it always comes back on him? I'll kill Jesus before he kills me. Hang him on the cross. I got him. Uh-oh. My head's crushed. My head's crushed. Listen, in all these things, we overwhelmingly come through him. He has promised blessing. He has promised to be a blessing. He has promised for you to overcome. Abraham went. He went, and yeah, there were problems. There were struggles. He had Lot, and he had Lot's wife. Oh, my word, right? Lot's wife. Little boy came home from Sunday school, said, hey, we learned about Lot. What'd you learn about him? He said, we learned that by day she's a pillar of salt and by night a ball of fire. Old Lot, his family, he had to separate from that. Lot caused him problems. Lot caused him trouble. He did some stupid stuff. He sold his wife off and didn't sell her off, but just told everybody he's his sister and got in trouble for that. I mean, on the journey, he did some crazy things that we all do. But in all these things, he overwhelmingly conquered. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who saved us. Why? Because of the covenant. Very thing we started with, we end with. When God says he's going to do it, bank on it. He's going to do it. He says he's going to deliver you, he's going to deliver you. He says he's going to conform you into his image, he's going to conform you into his image. He says he's going to take away your grief, he'll take away your grief. He says he'll bless you, he's going to bless you. Let's be a people of confession, even in the midst of the darkest days. Because in all these things, we, like Father Abraham, overwhelmingly conquer. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together, okay? And I tell you, if you got your notes today, I left you on the back sheet, I left you a series of confessions that I want to really encourage you to be a part of. And of your life. If you got your notes, you just look at the back of them. I just want to tell you, it's a powerful, powerful thing to be able to confess the things that God has for us. Confessions to peace. And what I want to do is just do about six of them as your blessing, okay? So I just want you to repeat it after me, all right? This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation. Therefore, I will not ponder the things of the past. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Today is a new day. Therefore, the Lord is my shepherd. And I have everything that I need. And I am content with every circumstance. because the Lord is my refuge and a very present help in trouble. Yeah. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One more time. Hey, you got better. How'd you do that? All right. Oh, got it up there. One more time, all right? One more time. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hey, you're blessed. Go be a blessing.